Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Hello, everybody. Weeks and weeks in the making, but our guest today is Kelly Ketchell, who once started life as a physiotherapist and is now a business owner at Active Life Therapies. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It's very exciting. I've listened to so many of your podcasts and now to be on one.
It's all about you, Kelly. It's all about you right now. So 8 years ago, what was going on?
Well, I had just, I'd had my daughter previously, two years previous to that, and I really saw a big gap for people that had neurological events or had a neurological disease that they didn't have access to physiotherapy within my area. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing home visits. I'm going to go out by myself.
It'll be fun, they said.
Yeah.
Paint a picture where you are, because you're in a very beautiful part of Australia.
Yes, in the Adelaide Hills, beautiful Adelaide Hills. I live just outside a place called Mount Barker, which is a very rapidly growing town.
Yes.
But it's still got that beautiful country feel to it. So, and this time of year is just gorgeous in autumn.
The leaves. Mm-hmm. So you got busy, packed the car, had everything in the boot. And then what really happened in that first couple of years for you business wise?
So then I got asked to start providing services to a nursing home, very rural nursing home, a place called Meningi, which is a good 100 kilometres from home. And so I said, yeah, sure, why not? So I started going up there and doing their physiotherapy for them, and then got asked to do the physiotherapy at the hospital there as well. And along with that, they wanted me to do the musculoskeletal clinic there as well, because their physio was retiring. So suddenly I'm like, okay, all right, I've got all this to
do.
Just
20 days a week.
Yeah, that's it. And then with the funding instrument that is currently in aged care, we looked at increasing the days up there. So then I had to bring another therapist on. So I had my first employee, which was very exciting. Mm. we got asked to do another nursing home and another nursing home. So I employed another person and another person.
Reminds us that it was all a little easier as such back then.
Five years
ago, you know, we kind of didn't have the growing pains that we have in the workforce right now.
No. I still didn't have a lot of people to pick and choose from, because it was very rural. So, you know, that limited the amount of people that would apply for it. But it was much easier. I still, you know, advertised once, got somebody. Mm. Like, it wasn't like it is now, as you say, where it's just this constant advertising. Yeah.
Mm. So was there a plan, or was there something else? A trust in the universe, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it just kind of ran away from me, really. And I was like, oh, yeah, the plan is just to expand. Let's just get bigger. Mm. Let's get some employees. And then I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm mad. What have I done? And then my son got diagnosed with ASD, and so we started seeking occupational therapy services for him. Met a wonderful occupational therapist, I said, oh, it'd be great if we didn't have to come all the way down to the city for this. And she said, yeah, it would be great. And so we went away, and then a couple of years later, a sort of a friend of ours, New Bedford, said, oh, you know, the OT that you had, she's looking to leave where she is, and it might be worth having a word with her if you're really serious about it. So I did, and that was how our paediatric services kind of started as well. So just using a dance studio in Mount Barker, we started providing our sensory integration services. So, and now it's...
Now what's it like? If I open the door and step into the office, what will we see and hear?
Lots of fun being had generally between the team and our clients. So we now have a much bigger space with three clinic rooms, specially designed sensory rooms, sensory gyms, two front of shop, two front of house staff, three OTs and six physios, I think it is, at last count. So, yes, and currently adding to that as we go. So, yeah, it's certainly a lot busier and a lot more professional.
Oh, okay. Well, there's questions I could ask there, but I'll hold on them. So what have you kind of had to kind of get your head around in these last few years to get it to be more professional?
Managing a team. I've had to get over wanting to be a clinician. I've had to, you know, stop really doing a lot of my clinical hours. I've kept a couple of favourites. one was my first ever client. But, yeah, really managing the team and getting out of that friend zone with people that have been with me a while, and learning to push people because I can see their potential, and remind myself I'm not being a bully. I'm just trying to, you know, get the best out of people. So that's been a massive, massive thing for me to overcome. And getting all those, you know, we're still doing it now, getting those systems and procedures and standing operating procedures in place so that things run smoothly. We're getting there.
So what does your week look like now with less clinical work?
It looks like lots of sections of time set aside literally for business development, and I will be quite specific on what I'm working on. So this morning was my marketing spot. So I'll either be working on what we're going to be putting on our social pipes, or this morning I was working on new website copy, because our website really doesn't reflect very well, I think, anymore what we are actually doing.
You've outgrown it.
I have, yeah. So, yep. Really working on that. Tomorrow will be what I call a management sprint. So that's working on, all the systems around managing the team, and also a few one-to-one staff meetings as well. So catching up with members of the team individually, working on their goals, working on their KPIs, KPAs, just seeing where they're at, what I can do to help, if anything. Other management meetings and team meetings. It's good. I actually really love it.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, I always thought I was going to be the physio, and that was my thing. But I actually love doing this. So yeah,
why do you reckon that is?
I've always liked teaching people, like even from a young physio back in the day. I loved having students. I loved having junior physios. Made me really think about what I was doing. And I think that's probably one of the things is having to manage people really makes me think about the processes that I'm, you know, putting in place in the business, and how that's going to affect everybody, not just me. And seeing, you know, my values and, you know, that mission and that vision really coming to fruition. That's what excites me about it.
Because it's a sizable shift from clinician towards, you know, business operator and then business owner. Mm. What do you think, you know, your role will be, you know, in 12 months' time, given the shift you've already made?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the ultimate is to be, you know, the CEO. You know, really looking to bring our practice manager into what I would think is a more conventional practice management role, doing a lot of what I do now, a lot of the meetings, a lot of the team management stuff, and me really just making the big business decisions, especially, you know, if we continue to grow as we are, that's what I'm really going to need to be focused on. And that's where it's important to have those systems in place so that, you know, she can just pick up the reins and already know exactly what to do. So, yeah. That's the plan.
Yeah. Oh, love it. That's very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. So we're recording this in kind of nearly the middle of 2021. So if we sort of think back over this financial year, what a circus it's been with COVID and holidays and so on and so forth. Did you guys travel through COVID as well as you wanted to?
Yeah. We really did. You know, in actual fact, you know, half in August last year, we were moving into our bigger space. So we went from one clinic's space unit to this one where we built two rooms thinking that was enough, and then had to at Christmas time put another space in. We did, and we utilized the telehealth where we needed to, but we were really lucky in South Australia. You know, we really weren't, I'm touching wood now, badly hit, and so we only had a couple of small lockdowns. And even initially, it was, well, you're still in the central service, so you can see people if you you know, if you feel there's a need. And so a lot of our clients, it just kind of carried on as normal, just with a lot more cleaning.
Who knew there could be this much cleaning in business?
Exactly. And no ball pit. The ball pit had to go, which was really bad. We traveled, and we, you know, I think at that point I had to say, okay, I think that was the turning point for me as far as like stepping out of the clinical work. I've got to find some people to, you know, to do that, take over my clients so I can focus on this, because this is a bit more hectic. You know, everything's changing from week to week. I had to focus on it. And I think that then made a massive change in the business, and it just seemed to snowball from there. We just got busier and busier and busier. So, yeah, it was great.
Interesting you say that. I've heard others, you know, share a very, very similar story that COVID was a little bit of a shake up, a little bit of a reality check. Okay, well, I can't kind of keep going with this, clinician by day, business owner by night kind of piece. There's way too many moving parts, there's way too many people dependent on me in all sorts of different ways. And I really kind of have to get my, you know, my hours and my daylight activities sort of sorted. And they are totally, like, you reaping their benefits right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good to hear. Yeah, I definitely think that has made the biggest change, like being in the business, working on the business rather than working in it.
Yeah. So your team, how many in your team now? I lost count. 10, 12?
10. 10, 11, 10, 11. We've got one physio on maternity leave at the moment. Okay. So 11 including her, because she's part of the team. So, so reasonable size, and currently just looking at bringing another OT on. It's going to grow even further.
So what do you think is going to happen kind of business-wise, just ballpark in this next financial year, the next 12 months for you?
We are looking at, because we're bursting at the seams here. So I'm currently actually was going through a bit of a process just now of analysing whether we need to move into another space, potentially just setting that up initially as a physio space, so that it can meet the needs of all our physio clients. Then we want to bring in speech pathologists. I don't have any speech speeches on my team at the moment. So I've been working out ways that we can bring speeches in and still have them supported clinically, myself not being able to do that. So we think we've come up with a solution for that. And then, you know, if it would be lovely to have psych as well. We've already got allied health assistants on the team. Trying to be like a one-stop shop for the Adelaide Hills for everybody. And, you know, I think what is the real benefit to our clients is because we're using the same spaces, although our physios and our OTs are using them and the speeches would be using them for very different reasons, our clients get the benefit of using that equipment and being in those spaces, so they kind of get the benefit of all their other therapies, you know, at the same time. So, that's a real win for them. Keeping using those sort of spaces in line with what we're currently doing.
You're reminding me of a hermit crab that just keeps needing to change its shell. You just keep growing out of your shell.
That's such a great description. I love it.
So with the majority of your services now clinic-based, because there's been so many times I've spoken with you and you've been in the car, most of it's clinic-based now?
Yeah. I mean, 100% of our OT services are currently clinic-based.
Oh, wow.
We just find that our clients get much more benefit out of being in the clinic because we do have a strong focus on sensory integration, so it's very hard to mimic that out in the community and or in the school setting. We do occasionally still go into kindies, into schools, in order to assess our clients in those environments, because we really want to be person focused and really, you know, look at the big picture as well. We just find that our clients get so much benefit from coming in to see us here and focusing, you know, quite specifically on what they're doing while they're here. So
it could be a really hard balance to get right as well. Yeah.
Just fine when we have done school visits in the past, and we just find, you know, you're having to go in, you've got to set up everything, then you've got to go and, you know, find your client and, you know, then bring them, get them settled. I think, you know, when they walk in the door, this is therapy time, they're, you know, they're focused, that transition is a lot easier for them sometimes, you know, obviously transitions for our clients are always tricky, but they just kind of walk in the door and, okay, it's OT time, okay, it's physio time. So, you know, that does seem to give us better results, but
So you've done a lot of work on your clinic spaces and your team and systems and standard operating procedures. Is it okay if we have a chat about the software that you use to manage your business?
Of course, I'd love to.
I know a bit more about it, so fly us in. Let the listeners have a get a grasp of it.
Yeah, so when we started bringing on multiple therapists and having to juggle lots of schedules, we just couldn't find a practice management software that really fitted all our requirements. And so I approached my dad, who happens to be a software developer, and said, oh, you know, this is the problem we're having. And he said, oh, okay, that's interesting. I can probably, you know, do something for you. So that was really how Pendulum was born. And it's really, you know, really grown. I really wanted it to be quite NDIS specific, because that was the majority of our clients obviously back then. So I wanted it to help us manage those type of clients. And then it actually helps us manage all of our non-NDIS clients really nicely as well, because of the same thing. So, you know, very goal focused, lots of, plan start, plan end, alerts. So we're given plenty of warning as to, you know, when things are coming to an end, and gives us, you know, that help to push us to write reports. And we're currently working on integrating that more into the system as well, and just managing multiple therapists, multiple site calendars as well. It's been a real whiz for that. It's, you know, there's obviously been teething problems along the way, and it is a work in progress, but it's working really nicely now, and the mobile app is really starting to take shape as well. So it's really fantastic to just be involved in that and really get a custom made, you know, off the shelf product, and hopefully it will help lots of other people that run the same sorts of business as us as well. So
gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with allied health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horsetopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz today.
How do your team enjoy working with Pendulum?
Yeah, again, you know, there's obviously lots of people work with other pieces of software. So there's always lots of comparisons, I think, between, but I think that would happen with anything. Mm. But I think the fact that they can, you know, if something isn't working or they kind of go, oh, this would be really helpful, the fact that they can actually put that across and know that it will, you know, be developed into it. Yeah. If it's, you know, if it's not something completely out of out of this world, impossible. But so I think the fact that they've been able to actually have a lot of input into it and build it to suit what they do has been a real winner as well. So and being able to actually speak to the developer directly.
Literally
ring him up and go, this isn't working. Okay, I'll get on it.
So, oh gosh. It's great to hear that it's progressing really nicely for you.
I think Dad will probably be able to tell you a lot more about it. I'm sure he'd love to have another conversation with you.
Yeah, something that I kind of hear about is business owners really wanting to get really useful reports out of their practice management software. What sort of reports are you kind of using, and you know, to kind of grow and accelerate the business?
Yeah, so we obviously profit and loss every week. So that's obviously very helpful to see and work out where the gaps are and work out, you know, what billable hours are being done and if there's cancellations or, you know, what's been put in there instead. Tracking cancellations, tracking new clients and new episodes is really important to see how our marketing's performing. And how our reception staff and our admin staff are working as far as, you know, keeping people coming in for their appointments and or rebooking them if they're cancelled. So, all of that's really where I focus, and the numbers, just being really aware of our numbers as well as far as, you know, the finances go. And then also, as I said before, before, you know, knowing when our clients' plans are coming to an end, so that we can get those reports ready for them. And it's not that last minute rush. We can do a really good job on them instead of like, oh, quickly throw something together because they've got their meeting tomorrow.
So. Yeah. Oh, well, that's kind of a pretty, variable date, isn't it? It's when the plan ends and then when the meeting is and then when the reports are due. They can all be three different situations.
So hard to judge.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. I'd love to catch up with what Pendulum is looking like. But if we kind of touch on the NDIS, it is price guide season as we're recording this. Oh dear, for those listening, Kelly is literally rubbing her forehead as she speaks already. I don't even quite know where to put the question. I think I'll just lob it really broad. What do you think the NDIS is going to – she's nodding her head, so I'll just come up with the longest question in the history of the world so she can gather her thoughts. What do you think the NDIS is going to kind of look like in the next 6 months?
Oh, my goodness. I just hope they don't change it too much again. I don't think we can cope with it, can we?
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I find it really strange because in South Australia, physiotherapy services are billed at a higher rate than OT.
They are too.
Yeah, That's right. I still find that so bizarre. And I kind of understand their reasoning, you know, but actually OTs are just as hard to come by. They're, you know, as rare as hen's teeth as well as physios now. So, you know, I think retaining occupational therapists in South Australia is just as hard as physiotherapists. Yeah. So, it is a strange one. So I hope that changes. I mean, obviously I'd hope that the OT prices go up and that physio doesn't go down, but who knows? I hope that they look at the groups and the way they're funded as well.
I agree more. I've just jumped off a phone call with a client now. We were just looking at how to get the groups just differently impactful and differently profitable and just differently useful within a business. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Imagine if they kind of got the group thing a bit more sorted.
Yeah, it would be so great. We ran our first lot of groups this last holiday, school holidays, because I just had therapists that actually were really keen to do it, which was wonderful. And the kids just loved it. And so did that. It was such good fun. It wasn't profitable, but it was, we did it for the clients really and for the experience for the therapists. And because we like, you know, the well. One of our things is creating a community, and so obviously the groups helps to do that.
There's only so much you can tolerate, though.
I mean, you're not a charity at the end of the day. You've got to run a business. So, it would be lovely if they relook at that.
Yeah. What else is in your crystal ball for the NDIS?
Oh, gosh.
Or on your wish list? No one's got a crystal ball. No one's got one, I don't think.
Wish list, allied health assistance as well.
Yeah.
Like being able to utilize them so much more and, you know, have them, you know, even running programs in the community as well. You know, somebody suggested to me a while ago about using them as support workers, which I was kind of blown away by.
It's getting a little blurry, that line, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. But it's, you know, it's ridiculous the things people are having to do to work people's funding in their favour because they're not getting funded for supports that they need. So, we could possibly use this in a creative way. So, I think, you know, that's the other thing is really making sure that people have got those the supports that they actually need rather than this sort of, it feels like it's just a one size fits all kind of procedure at the moment. Everybody seems to have the same goals, you know, or very, very similar goals or just the same goals for years and years. And not really being told how to then use this funding. The amount of people, you know, we get through that say, oh, well, it's got to be for OT. It says it's for OT. And, you know, we're like, well, actually, no, that goal is more a physiotherapy goal. Having some more education for participants on how to actually use their funding to actually achieve their goals so they can make new goals.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm ranting.
No, it's fine. No, you are welcome to rant. You were rubbing your forehead even as I ask the question. Do you think they've got travel right?
Oh gosh, well that's another thing, isn't it? In because obviously we, you know, we work in some rural areas. Mm. It's not quite there. The modified Monash, I can see why they picked that.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fine if they're actually going to give people, you know, the funding. Mm. It seems to be this expectation as well, you know, you could move. Well, they might not want to move. Their business might be there. You know, they've got family there. Why should they move just because you don't want to fund the travel for the therapists to get to them? And then they get half as much therapy because they're having to use their therapy budget to get us there. I don't think it's right at all yet. But it should be a whole separate thing.
Oh yes. And it's a double-edged sword. Hey, I think I've probably read more about the NDIS in the mainstream media in the last 2 months than probably in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a real mixture of stories, and I guess on the back of the Royal Commission and so on and so forth. So, you know, mainstream Australia is getting this story and getting this exposure, which I think is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think generally on the whole, but there's still just this hidden, secret, dark back of stage piece that providers like your good self are dealing with day after day.
And what aren't they telling us?
What do they know that we don't know yet?
Been, you know, like that, all these changes that are made in the background, and it's like, oh, by the way, we're doing this, you know, with the when we're applying, you know, equipment prescription, that's going to be, you know, taken away, and we're going to do that privately. Oh no, we're not. You're still going to do it. And then these individual assessments as well, which everybody's just terrified about, I think. And you know, within reason.
They're on hold. Paused.
Fingers crossed it stays that way for a good while.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Did you guys go ahead and register?
No, we didn't. Mm. And there really hasn't been any incentive for us to do that. Mm. We don't even get phone calls now from anybody saying, we're agency manager. Can you say everybody is plan or self-managed here? I can't speak for other areas. And I was speaking to another therapist a little while ago, and the majority of their clients were agency managed, so it was worth it for them. But the cost and everything else that went with it, and having to actually pay more because we had no accreditors in South Australia. So
that's right.
I was just like, no, don't think so. You know, had I still been a single, you know, on my own and not a company, then I may have looked at it. But no, it just hasn't been worth it for us, I'm afraid. So
Oh well, that could be you know, an interesting space to watch, because I guess that goes into the predictions as well. You know, whilst there are, you know, pretty sizable business infrastructure benefits to doing it, we don't know quite yet what other kind of registration benefits there might be as well.
I mean, I guess, you know, it as far as cash flow goes, it's a lot easier to manage it because you're doing all the claims from your end rather than having to rely on clients to pay you. But you know, other than that, I do feel it takes away that choice and control. So
goodness. So what else have you learned about your business in the last little while?
That's a good question. I think one of my biggest things has been not hiring out of desperation, bringing the right people on board. I think that's been a huge learning curve for me. Having the right team members, because you only got to have one bad apple and it does upset the whole cart. So I've been much more careful about that, to the point of almost overthinking it sometimes, I think. But I just seem to, you know, when the right person comes along, I just seem to know, just you know, yes, you're the one. And definitely not hiring out of desperation these days. So So that recruitment process has been refined somewhat.
Oh, that's a good learning. Good learning. What else has your business taught you?
Time management. Oh my gosh, time management. Yeah. And I'm still not great at it. But I'm getting better. Like, I have schedules for everything now. I literally have, like, you know, the schedule for the plans my whole morning. So that we get to school on time. And so, yeah, my kids actually haven't been late for school for ages, which is amazing.
We'll thank the business for that.
You know, not
just showing off. Yeah. That's good.
I know. Also, mindfulness. And you know me, I have ideas coming.
A little sparkly.
Spewing. And I've had to learn to focus and not just be the shiny object chaser and finish things. I'm actually getting things finished now rather than getting halfway through a task and then, oh, yeah, that's what I was doing a month or two ago. So I'm getting back to it. It's taught me that as well.
Yeah. You're very proud of your team. What makes them so amazing?
Oh, they're just all so passionate, and they just in all of my values. They care. They don't just look at the person just while they're here. They think about everything that's going on outside of when they leave the clinic as well. They're all have such wonderful ideas, which they're always bringing to me as well. So along with my ideas popping out of my brain, I have all theirs as well now. They're very dedicated to the point that, you know, I'm having to sort of say, you've got to stop working at home. Like, you've got to, that's your time. So, really looking after their mental health as well. Mm. They just all are so willing to share their knowledge between each other as well, which is fantastic. And, you know, and across disciplines too. So, you know, the OTs will help the physios, and the physios will help the OTs. And it's just, I was away on holiday for a couple of weeks, and they had a planning day. And when I came back, I kind of felt like I wasn't really needed anymore. They were just like, no, we don't need you. We're all good. We know what we're doing. Like, this is where we're
to the office, Kelly. Be gone. Be gone to the spreadsheet.
Exactly. Yeah. I just love their energy just how much they really care about our clients, genuinely. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's so cool about that wonderful description is it totally speaks to your refinement around the recruitment piece, that the recruitment is getting sharper and sharper and sharper and more focused, and it's just playing out in the team day when you're not needed.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but we'll just pretend that it is right now.
I'm happy kind of with it. Yeah, I think, you know, I went in during interview, I now ask a lot of questions based around our core values to see if they align with ours. I really know from their answers, they're going to be a good fit or not
quite.
That's really important.
So good to hear. So in the last couple of minutes, what kind of, you know, little bits of advice and gems, pearls of wisdom would you like to leave other allied health business owners thinking about?
I think if you want your business to grow, work on it, not in it, would be my big piece of advice. And as you're transitioning into that, really, you know, listen to those beautiful books, you know, Brené Brown's and all those books on managing a team and doing it right. To give you that confidence to steer your team, your growing team in the right direction. Know your numbers. Oh my gosh, know your numbers. You can't make good business decisions unless you know your numbers. It's definitely another biggie for sure. What else? Yeah, hiring. Yeah, recruit to your own core values. Bring people that share your values and your beliefs on board, and you can't go wrong.
Yeah. How good. Thank you so much for coming in to share up the adventure so far.
You're welcome. It's been great.
We'll have to kind of reconnect after the price guide piece and kind of see where it landed.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm nervous about that.
No, it's all good. Thank you, Kelly, so much. And
Thank you.
Onwards and upwards.
Thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait to hear it back.
I don't think any guest has ever said that, but that is okay. You at least play it for your team because they will love to hear what you said.
I hope so. Yeah, I do tell them quite a lot what I think of them. So, yeah, I hope they already know.
Good. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.